Well, it is just a great. I just love to see the Holy Spirit just speaking, and if you're visiting here, or maybe you're not used to God or to church, I just really encourage you. Just sit back, relax, just enjoy. We just really, really believe that God is real, and that Jesus is real, and I wholeheartedly believe that. So just enjoy what God is doing here today. I'm just going to readjust myself a little bit so that I can see you all. Is that okay? Actually, Ben, would you be able to lift that? That's my sore toe. Yeah, right. No, I don't. My toe is better. So thank you, everybody, who's been praying for me. I really do believe that God's, He has healed my toe. It looks really ugly, but it's good, and I can use it. So that's great. Wow, it's good to see you all again this morning. Today I want to preach into a great topic. Last week we were talking about transition, and so the question I'm asking today is, well, yeah, God transitions us in life quite often, but what for? For what purpose? And today I want to talk about influence. A great word, influence. Can we all say influence? Influence. God has created us to influence our world. Can I tell you a little story? My father is a great man, and I've been brought up in the church. But he used to take us over to North Head, the tunnels, just down the way somewhere. I don't know which direction I'm pointing. That direction, there you go. And we have got a family of five, and Mum and Dad would take us over there, and we'd go and play in all the tunnels. How many have played in the tunnels? You know it. It's cool, eh? It's quite scary. I don't know if you can do that anymore. Can you still play in the tunnels? You can. That's good news. I'll be down there soon. And so we used to run around and get really scared. We'd play hide and seek in the tunnels, and there'd be really dark tunnels, and we'd all be scared and egging each other on to go in there. And there'd be the tunnels that were quite nice, and we'd go in and just play around. But there was this one tunnel that was mega, mega scary, and we just would not go into it. We would, what would happen is that the tunnel, you might know it actually if you're local, you go down, there's two sets of stairs going down like that, if you can get what I'm doing. And at the bottom is just a concreted area, and it's still outdoors, but then you go into this bunker. And for us, it was the most scariest, most fearful bunker. And none of us would go in there. I was about 10 years old, and would stand around outside going, oh, why don't you go in? Why don't you go in? And I've got one brother and three sisters. And so we'd all be egging each other on. And Mum and Dad were sort of making their way down slowly. And so we'd be standing there and getting very, very scared. And then suddenly my dad, I just remember this one time, my dad appeared at the top of the stairs, and he walked down the stairs. All five of us turned into these miserable little scared little scared little kids, beautiful little kids, and into giants. Suddenly, Dad was with us. Suddenly, Dad was here, and we were the bravest, toughest, meanest kids ever because Dad had come down. And one of us was on his back, and another one was hanging off his legs and holding his hands because there's five of us. And suddenly, we were so brave because Dad was in and around us. And often in life, we can walk into a room, and peace comes into the room. As Christians, we can walk into an environment and suddenly everything's okay. For some of us, it's like that. For others, it's like, man, we want to have this influence. And we know we're designed to have great influence. We walk into a room. What is it like when you walk into a room? We walk into a room and nothing changes. See, I believe that God today wants to start developing an environment in our life, wants to start developing people so that when we walk into a room, there's something actually changes. Something like the spiritual atmosphere actually changes, like Dad walking down. Suddenly the fear is gone. Suddenly hope has come into the environment. Suddenly all things are possible just because someone that knows Jesus has walked into the room. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is how do we develop a life where we can literally walk into a room, we don't even have to say anything, and the atmosphere changes. How many would like that today? You know, the Bible teaches us that this is something that God wants us to be like. And, you know, there's so many environments that we find ourselves in that, you know, we'd really love to have influence over. You know, I've been around a while now and I've seen, you know, so many things that just disappoint me that I just go, man, if only I could have some influence in their life. You know, I know people, teenage pregnancies and pregnancies that really are not wanted. You know, I just wish and I pray that, you know, perhaps we could have influence into that environment. I see growing up, I saw my friends get into alcohol and drugs and all sorts of stupid things. And, you know, I just look back and I go, man, I just really wish that I could have had some influence in their life or some greater influence in their life. What is it in your life that you're wanting to have some influence in? Just take a moment. What is it in your life that you, man, you just pray, Jesus, do something here. I'm desperate to see you move in this environment. I don't know, maybe it's within the church environment. Maybe it's something as a team that you're leading. But there are environments that God has placed here on the face of the earth to change and to bring a positive atmosphere into. And, you know, it's just oodles, like even kids. Man, you know, I just wish the atmosphere would suddenly change and my little girl would be just a little angel. But that doesn't always happen. But God gives us the tools and the means to really develop that. So today I just love what the Holy Spirit was doing this morning. He came and he changed an atmosphere. You might have sensed it. There's those, you know, around communion, there's just a change in atmosphere where the presence of God comes and he changes something. And so, Pip, would you better just pass my Bible up? Yeah, that one there would be good. I brought up the wrong book. So today I want to look at the Bible and just see what the Bible has to say about all of this. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and we're going to dive into that today. This is a passage in the Bible which I love. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's typically known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was speaking, and he was teaching to a lot of people, disciples mainly. He was speaking mainly to Christians. And so the Sermon on the Mount, you've got to realize that Jesus is speaking to Christians. And so if you don't know Jesus here today, this is a really, really, really hard sermon to listen to because you actually need the power of God to live like this. It's really how you can't do it on your own. And so Jesus begins teaching in Matthew chapter 5, and he starts out with what we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are really just the Christian characteristics. And so he starts off with who you are as a person as the most important thing. And it goes right through. He then talks a little bit about being ready to be persecuted. Sometimes it's not popular to be a Christian person or to live a Christian life. He then goes on, and this is what's one I want to pick up on today in verse 13. Says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be, excuse me, Benjamin, you better grab my water there. I've just got to, thank you. Oh, thanks. I've got a cool water bottle under my seat, but they give me my little girl's water bottle. That's cool. That's cool. I'll just give that back to you. Oh, there you go. Oh, sorry, Ben. Oh. Yes, we love each other. So we were reading the Bible, and so great verse. So, can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now, it goes on. I'll probably preach on this next week, but I just want to read it. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. But the passage I really want to look at is salt. We are salt. Can we all say salt? And so God has designed us to be salty, to be gritty. And I just know God wants to put a bit of grit into our lives today, a bit of grittiness, a bit of being able to stand up and stand for the things of Jesus Christ, to walk into an environment and to actually make a difference, to be gritty about it. And I know that, I just have a suspicion that there are many gritty people already in this church. How many people are gritty today? Yeah, you've got to be gritty. I think even to make a decision for Jesus Christ means that you're a gritty person. You've got to have a little bit of steel in you. And so Jesus is saying that we are to be salt in this world. Now, let me just touch on salt just for a minute. What is salt? First of all, salt is a preservative. And in the old days, they used to rub salt into meat to preserve it. And if you've ever been hunting and killed an animal or anything like that, I'm a very humane person, by the way, and I do it in a humane way. But I went out hunting once, getting myself into a big hole here, and we skinned the animal, and it was a deer. And we had to rub salt into the skin to preserve it and to cure it and all of that sort of thing. And so we have a preserving function in this world. As we go into our environments, we actually do preserve the environment that we're in just by simply being there. You know, in fact, this world, the Bible actually says this world is a world of darkness. It's falling into a pit of despair. It's falling into it's degrading day after day. But the fact that we are that there are Christians representing Jesus Christ in the world means that this world is actually being preserved from total destruction. And so just because we are in this world, because you are in your world, you are preserving your workplace. You are preserving your school. You are preserving your household today because the Spirit of the living God is living in you. So that's the first function that salt has. The second function that salt typically have is one of healing. And so as we go into environments, even today, you know, we are able to bring healing into environment. Salt also has a function of, well, they do use it for melting ice. And you know, there's times where atmosphere is an important thing. See, we can be worshiping God. Here's just a little thing. We can be worshiping God, and you can actually stand here like this, or even sit on your chair and worship. And just really, your body language is very closed, and that's cool. But what will happen is that you will influence probably the people around you. And the people around you, if I don't know if you've ever stood next to someone who is closed in worship, it's actually quite, oh man, you know, you start to pick up and you close in yourself. Whereas the converse can happen. If you come into an environment and you're actually openly praising the Lord and you're actually worshiping God, you can actually melt the hardest heart. And so us being here together can melt the hardest heart. And so salt has a preserving function. It has a healing function. It can melt the hardest heart. But salt also brings flavor, obviously. And so God wants us to be in our world, bringing flavor and adding a bit of spice into our world. But the key thing is that salt is an influencer. Salt influences its environment. And you can eat the blandest food, put a little bit of salt on it, and it's yummy, yummy, yummy. I had to do that the other day. Macaroni and white sauce. Yeah, I made it, sorry. Macaroni and white sauce, to clarify. And so I put salt in the white sauce. So I actually thought I did a great job making this white sauce. And I did the roux, you know, you call it a roux. And then you add more milk, and I did it really well. No lumps in it. And I put it on the pasta macaroni. And I served it to my beautiful wife. And the first thing that Pippa did is get up and get the salt. But it was nice. But there is a tension. There's all this great stuff about salt. God wants us to influence our environment, to be salty in our environment. But the tension is that sometimes it's really hard. We don't see the results. And we have sometimes the appearance of salt, but not necessarily the punching power of salt, the power of salt. Matthew 23:28. Says that you outwardly sometimes appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And what can happen with salt is that it can get diluted. It can get diluted. And we can begin to perhaps compromise on the things that we know we've got to stand for. Maybe even at high school, the conversations that we engage in, or even at work, the conversations we engage in, we begin to dilute who we are as Christians. And you know, I know what it's like. I've been in so many environments at work and at high school, at university, all sorts of environments, and it's so easy to slip in and just to go on with the jokes that are pretty marginal, with a conversation that gets gossipy. But I know that Jesus wants us to stand out and to be standout people, and in that way begin to influence our world. I'm not talking about being a stick in the mud and just being so provoking that we annoy people. But God has called us as great people to be in our world and making a difference. And so I just want to leave us with a few things today. If we are to really establish a great saltiness in this church, in our life, there's a few things which I want to leave you in. And maybe we can talk about it in life groups this week. The first thing is that we've got to do the right thing, not the most convenient thing. Do the right thing, not the most convenient thing. And this is pretty difficult sometimes, to do the right thing, not the most convenient thing. You know, often we've got to make the right choice for church, not the right choice for Colin. I've got to make the right choice, the right decision for church, not for Colin. I find that as I make the right choice for the environment I'm in, God comes and he brings about a good thing in my life anyway. And so we've got to make the right choice. I'll tell you a little story about a youth pastor who I know, and none of you will know him, but he was a youth leader for a church in a provincial town. And he lived out of town, and we were just talking one day, and he was just saying, "Man, the youth group seems to be going down and down and down a little bit," and so we just began to explain his setup for the youth. And previously, the youth had been meeting on a Friday night because that's when youth come out, they finish the week, and they enjoy. They don't have to go to school the next day, and so it was on Friday night. And then he'd come to church on Sunday. But he decided to move the Friday night youth to a Sunday because it was more convenient for him. Because he didn't have to go into the town twice in one week. So he could do the youth and the church service all in one day. And it was convenient for him. But what he sort of failed to miss is that it wasn't necessarily the best time for youth to meet up and to hang out. They wanted to meet out, and the best time was actually Friday night. And so he made the most convenient decision for himself, but not necessary for the youth. And it's just a cultural thing which, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to challenge a little bit. It's hard. Are we making the right choice, the right decision, rather than the most convenient decision? You know, even at university, I know sitting exams, exams are such a priority, and they are a priority. But if we made a commitment to some things within church life, come on, that's got to be met as well. And I remember at university, I was leading a cell group or a connect group, a life group as we call them here. But in those days, we call them cell groups. And I'd committed to make it to leading a cell group all year. The pressure came on around exam time, and it was really, really hard. But I know that as I committed to this group that I was leading, as I kept turning up week in, week out, God honored me, and I ended up passing my exams, and you know, I thought I was missing out on study time, but God honored that, and that I was honoring his house and making the right decision. And so we're going to make the right decision, not necessarily the most convenient decision, and it's hard. It's really hard to make the right decision, but I know the Holy Spirit will give you power to make that decision. Secondly, I'm going to touch on this, and I'm going to finish on it today, but we've got to look. I believe it's something that God's wanting to lead us into just for this phase, is that in order for salt to do something, it's got to actually be in an environment. And so it's actually got to come out of the salt shaker. You probably heard the analogy. It's got to come out of the salt shaker. And so the second thing we've got to really do to activate is to find a crisis in which we can influence. To look for a crisis. What's a crisis in your world that God is asking you to influence today? Just take a moment even. What is the crisis that God is calling you to fulfill or to influence? Because God's put us here. He's put life changes here to make a difference into your world. And so God's called us to look for crisis. And it's crazy. It's a crazy thing to think that God wants us to go out of our way and to look for environments or people that we can actually help. You know, crisis points around our world. There's just so many crisis points around our world. I just love what Debbie is doing. Is Debbie here today? She's just such an amazing person, isn't she? Debbie's a, isn't she? Yeah, that's good. Glad you guys thought so. But you know, you may not know what she's doing, but Debbie's doing a thing called 24/7, and it's a presence-based, I've got to get this right, presence-based youth work in Long Bay College. And so she goes there and she literally is there with the students and hangs out with them and gets to know them, gets to know the girls there. And she has influence into Long Bay College. And she's now starting up beginning just to think and strategize. I hope I'm allowed to say all this, Debbie. Yeah, great. And so, Debbie, why don't you just come and say this? Yeah, give her a hand. She's a great lady. Do you guys know about what she's doing? Yes, no? Come on, you've got to promote yourself. Or promote what you're doing.
Awesome. So I started this year in Long Bay College, and God really opened a door for me to be able to go in there and be a friend to the young people there. I'm focusing on the younger girls there. And the thing is, I get to hang out with them, spend time with them, talk with them. And often, you know, you see the things on the news, and you hear about the troubles and the hard times that young people face, and you see the consequences of that on the news, but I'm seeing it front to front. Like, I'm seeing it face to face. I'm sitting down with girls who are just in the depths of pain. I'm sitting down with girls who have no hope. I'm sitting down with girls who are being called fat and being called all these things, and then I can go in and say, no, you're beautiful. No, you're awesome. You're so lovely, and their face just changes, and it's like, man, we can make such a difference. And so I just thank God that I'm in there and that I can make a difference. And so I'm just, yeah, seeking Him for the next step and what to do next. And, yeah, how to really affect these people with the gospel and see a change in their heart and see a change in the environment.
Isn't that a good thing? Just stay there, because, you know, Debbie is now looking for what is the next step to get into influencing. So why don't we pray for her right now, just as she's here. This is just impromptu. But come on, Pip, why don't you just stand with her and Ben, why don't you come? Josh, why don't you come? Come on. You know, we all minister here. We're all friends. And so, Father, we just stand just on behalf of Debbie right now. Lord, we just pray you'd minister. You know, you're just doing something right now. You know, this, and I just believe, this is just prophetic as well. Church, this is not just Debbie standing on her own doing this. We are joining together with Debbie. Okay, you guys are part of 24/7. So, Lord, we pray as Debbie is representing this, and she's spearheading and she's going forward into schools, Father. She is in on Long Bay College. God, I pray you'd anoint her for the work. God, that there will be doors open right now, Jesus. There'll be a clarity coming through, a clarity of thought, a clarity of direction. There'll be those that she can partner with. There will be divine appointments and divine partnerships, and that there will be an influence. That, Lord, as she is literally salt in this world, she's able to as you rub her into Long Bay College, as you massage her into the lives of the girls there, that there will be a healing, a preserving nature in Jesus' name. That there will be hard hearts that are beginning to melt even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Great. Thanks, guys, for praying. And you give Debbie a hand. But I just want to highlight that, because that is what I believe I can see the Holy Spirit God is wanting us to move into. We've got missions in our world to go and influence. And, you know, I just also really... No, I'm going to touch on that in a minute, but... You know, it's. I love the fact that a crisis will bring people together. You know, our nature is to run as far as we possibly can away from a crisis. And you know, there's times, you know, I've been driving past a motorcycle accident, and you know, the first thing I wanted to do was to run away because I'm scared about what I might see or what I might have to do. I feel inadequate about doing first aid and all that sort of thing. But this one time I went down and I was able to help in some little way. And it's not so much that we have all this amazing ability. God wants us just to be in these environments. And I just want to finish on a story. And if I could just have Anna come, please, it'd be great. Just play on the keyboard. I went out. I just to illustrate how people really come together. I was out tramping last November. A pastor from Nelson took me out tramping, and there was four of us. There was one was a was me, and I'm sort of unfit, but I could handle the tramping. It was a 5-day tramp, which was quite long for me. And also there was the guy, the pastor, that was taking me, and he was pretty unfit as well, but he was okay because he'd done a lot of tramping. There was a fireman, and he was mega fit. He was like Superman. He was muscle dude. And what's more, he had a really, really light pack. And it was so light that his toothbrush, he cut off the handle of the toothbrush just to make his pack a bit lighter. This guy is Superman tramping dude. And then there was another pastor, and he was really out of shape. He had a pack that was really, really, really heavy. It was heavier than any of ours. He was overweight, he was out of shape, and he couldn't handle it. Within half an hour, literally, of a 5-day walk, he had to stop, and we had to redistribute all of his stuff, and I had to carry his food for him. And so day two comes along, and he had a good attitude towards it. He was doing okay. But then day four comes, and we decide to do 2 days in one. I don't know why. I think it was Superman who suggested it. And so we set out, and we just went, and we went, and we went. And about 2 hours before the end of the day, this other guy just collapsed. And he couldn't go any further. He literally could not go any further. And we're out in the middle of the bush. You couldn't call a taxi. You couldn't, you know, hop in your car or anything like that. You couldn't get on your mobile phone and text someone like that. We were in it together. We were in it together. Do you know what Superman did? He had his pack on his back, which was as light as a feather anyway, but he also picked up the pack of this other guy, and he carried his pack for about an hour. And he was actually way ahead of us, even with two packs on. I was just astounded. Skipping along. Crazy dude. But you know, it was a real crisis. At the end of that hour, he had to put the pack down. I tried to pick up the pack. I walked 2 steps and I put it back down again. We were really in a crisis. But I tell you what, it bound us together as guys. I'd never met two of them. And it really joined us together. And I just know as we joined together, we got to the end, by the way, it was all okay. We sort of struggled along. 1 hour took us about another 3 hours to get there. But you know, I just know that as we joined together behind people like Debbie, but I just know that every single one of you, as I look out, I know every single one of you have the potential to, I was going to say the word infect, and it is like an infection. You infect your world. What I want to do is, if there are people here this morning, and you feel like you're in the middle of a crisis, you're not the crisis, but you're in like it might be work or at school or whatever, and you feel like there is a crisis, that you're feeling almost powerless to change or to bring influence into. I want you to feel, I want you to know that you're not alone. See, I could take a grain of salt. You're all just a grain of salt here today. You're just one bit of salt, Ben. You're one bit of salt, Josh. Everyone, I go around, you're all just one bit of salt. You know, one grain of salt. One grain of salt isn't particularly effective. But together, we're very effective. Together, we're very, very, very effective. In fact, you might be in your world on your own. You might be, no, because you're at church. But you know, if you're, you might be in your world, any one of us, on our own. But in a spiritual sense, we're together because we're family. And what I want to do, if you are a person, I don't know if there's anyone here today, that you feel like you're actually in a place of crisis where, you know, there's something in your world that you want to influence and you're struggling with it a little bit. If you feel brave enough, I'd love to ask you to stand. And, you know, you're not standing on your own, because what we're going to then do is we're going to stand with them. But I'd love just to be able to give you the freedom to say, yeah, man, let's join together on this. And so today, right now, how many people here are in a place where, you know, you would love to be able to stand and say, come on, please, please join with me today. And we're going to pray for you. And we're going to see a miracle happening this week. Just how many today would love to stand? Yeah. I'm going to pray, and if you feel like you still need to stand, I'm going to give you space to do that, and then we're going to stand together. Father, thank you for your presence here right now. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is powerful. Your word is punching and is even striking at the hearts of each one of us today. There's individuals standing here today, but they're not individuals. We're a family together. Lord, where one hurts, we all cry. When one has a wound, we all rally around and we all feel the pain. And Lord, we want to stand together, these people right now. And so church, I just ask you, let's stand together with these ones. Okay. Now, the great thing is that I don't even know who those ones were that were standing now. I can't remember in my brain who they were. But that is the power of coming together, because we're in it together. It's just a little illustration. We're now in it together. And so you who stood up initially, come on, you're part of a church here. You're part of something powerful. And what I'd love for you to do is, yeah, come and talk with me or talk to the leaders if you do need some specific guidance in that. But right now, we're just going to pray again for those that are in a crisis point. Come on, we're going to pray together. Why don't we get a little bit of music? Let's feel the, come on, we're going to pray. And we're going to make a difference in the world that we live in today. The Holy Spirit just wants to do something powerful. And as a word I had over the last 2 days, the word of striking power and punching above your weight. You're just an individual in a natural sense, but because the Holy Spirit's coming behind you, because there is a body of Jesus Christ coming behind you, you're going to have a punching power that is far beyond your weight. You're a heavyweight, not a lightweight today. And there is a striking power that's going to come into your world. Let's pray together. Father, right now, we join together with our hearts in unison, with our hearts together, believing that you can do a miracle in these crisis areas. I pray there'll be an influence beyond our natural means. Oh, I speak influence beyond our natural mindsets, beyond our natural ability today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray there'll be a breaking, a striking into the areas right now. In the spiritual realm, there'll be a striking and a punching in the name of Jesus Christ. Every situation to be resolved, every situation to be healed in the name of Jesus, every situation to be preserved in Jesus' name, because there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. We're going to pick up that song because there is power, and we're going to sing it like there's power coming into these situations. Thank you, Jesus.